not the standard regulation 140, the person may drive or operate the vehicle on the road or the highway while at the same time talking on the cell phone that is in hands-free mode.
Which would include Bluetooth and similar applications.
And then people
right, a person who is talking on the cell phone that is in hands-free mode, pursuant to paragraph
one,
shall not render a piece or a headset while so driving or operating the vehicle. Okay? It's clear?
Yeah, I use the Bluetooth one or the earpiece. Yeah, because they have them, the dashboard without it. So, not earpiece, but you can use the Bluetooth. It's clear.
Bluetooth and hands-free mode. Because there was some confusion, we got some questions about the difference between Bluetooth and hands-free mode. Well, I think it's really clear. There are people who
don't get distracted by social media. Don't get distracted by social media. And people with agendas here.
People
are wondering, can you use your phone while it's hands-free? On the hands-free, like you say, hands-free mode.
Okay, well, I think that there's so much back and forth there. We might have missed the main part of what he was saying in this news conference. So hopefully the minister, either the reporter who is there will come back to us and give us some overview of what he said, or alternatively, we'll also hear from the minister directly here on Down to Brass Tacks. And I'm sure for you, it might be better to get an opportunity to ask him questions yourself. Down to Brass Tacks. Hello.
Good morning, Mr. Ellis.
Yes, good morning.
Now, David, first let me say at this studio, two things I want to say before I get to my point. I'm going to be very quick. I don't want to spend a long time talking to you. Now, your caller who was speaking to concerning who would win seats on the Democrat Labour Party and the Barbados Labour Party, remember that caller?
Yes.
I'm so happy to know that a big Dem like him could at least come now and admit that Cynthia Ford is take care of her people. I was surprised to know, hear him say that I almost fall out my seat. So that is something that had me wondering how sincere he really could be. Because all along, everybody know the quality of representation the people in St. Thomas get from the representative for that constituency. Now, let me say this to you before I get to my point. Now, you know, I was scratching my head and pondering if I should ever call David Ellis again. And this is the second time I had such a feeling. I spoke to you recently concerning a young scholarship winner who the government refused to pay her fees at the University of Southampton. You remember that?
I don't remember it.
Oh, Lord, you went there, you don't remember? But you dismissed me one time about this, saying, asking, sorry, the callers or the listeners on the radio, if they recognize how San Juan blocked the beach access somewhere in Christchurch. And I began to wonder if David Ellis was a racist, because it was both white people who was involved in these same situations. I know what led to you.
I dismissed you and referred to the fact that people are blocking access to the beach at Maxwell.
Yeah, correct.
I remember somebody sending me information saying that, but to say that I referred to that doesn't mean that I dismissed you.
Yeah, David, you don't respond.
What did
to me
I
at
say?
All.
I didn't.
Right away when I mentioned it to you.
Good grief. You know, to say that I dismissed you, registered. Right. Come on, what were you looking for? What were you anticipating that I would say?
I was expecting a response from your concern.
But you see, it's a good thing I asked you about it, because I don't remember dismissing you. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, you made a point, and there was no necessity for me to say anything further. You established quite clearly that this was happening, and in your judgment, it was unacceptable.
Correct.
So what more you want from me?
But you was very short, right? And you went straight to me and asked some people have to see how
man,
it's
you know, you want mollycoddling. That's what you want.
I hear you. Anyway, let me go to my real point, David. Now, you know, I am real concerned. And to be honest with you, this is a trademark of this present Democrat Labour Party government, David.
What is it?
I'm speaking concerning the act now with the cell phones.
How is this representative?
Right, let me tell you why. I discovered that each time this government go to parliament and pass legislation without the consultation, of the electorate of this country, when the people begin to act up, the first thing they will do is just what Minister Lashy is doing right now, run back and begin to blame every Tom, Dick, and Harry on the letters, the wording, how people quoting or misquoting the wording. And this is exactly what he is doing now. Now, I am in full support of the legislation as far as you driving and using cell phones. I really support that part of it. But what made me call this morning is when I read, whereby if you get a call, it could be an emergency call, David, and you pull off of the highway and sit in your vehicle and answer the phone, it can be an offense that you're committing. I think that's most absurd. And I don't understand how they would expect people to accept this. Suppose now I'm on the highway driving on any road for that matter, and I receive an emergency call, David, and the rain is falling at that particular time. I must get out my car in the rain and answer an emergency call.
I think the government is saying that the police have misinterpreted the legislation. We want to hear from the minister more directly on this. There's another concern with somebody else raised here. They said, I heard that the Minister of Public Works may be calling in today to clarify the apparent misunderstanding conveyed by the senior police officer yesterday. Can you ask him to clarify the intent on the use of GPS units or mounted mobile phones using navigation apps? From my interpretation of the legislation, viewing these devices now appears to be against the law. If this is true, what will be the impact on visitors and locals needing navigation aids to find places in Barbados? Something that remains lawful even in places with the most stringent cell phone driving laws. So there's a need for clarification on this too.
Right, but David, you know, it's also disturbing to me.
What?
Only at the start that I saw one of the same instance of an outland, you know, I saw a police officer driving a vehicle and he was using his cell phone. I thought that all those police vehicles had their own, a system they have set up in the phone, in the red sort car, sorry, to answer the calls.
But you know, you can anticipate that they're going to find a way of being able to avoid police officers having to be held to that stringent standard in pursuit of their duties and, you know, that sort of thing. So
yeah,
that wouldn't surprise me.
Right, because I believe if it's a distraction for me to drive and use my cell phone, who is this police officer? It won't be a distraction to him if he drives and uses a cell phone as well.
Well, but he, being an officer of the law, it may be considered absolutely necessary for him to use his phone in those circumstances.
Not while driving, David.
If he's the only person in the vehicle and an emergency situation arises, then they may very well justify it on those grounds.
Well, likewise to me then.
Well, he's a police officer, you're not.
Oh. But you see, David, I was sum up by telling you this way. I was concerned and I'm still concerned even now. What you seeing happening in this country? And I was keep saying all them. I see that this country becoming a police state. Because when you look at the legislation that this government passed quite recently, it left me to wonder if this country is really becoming a police state. And when you hear it coming from this minister this morning, to be quite honest with you, I tell you it's the trademark of them. As people react to something, they go to parliament and legislate, they will come back. Like they do the same thing with solid waste tax and other acts that they're passing in parliament. So don't be surprised when you hear from the minister this morning. Thank you, David.
Thank you very much. Down to brass tacks. Hello. You're on the air. Welcome to the program. 434-1790. Hello.
Good morning.
Hi. Good morning.
Good morning. I'm a first-time caller.
Pleasure to have you.
A pleasure to hear. I listen to you every day. I have two small contributions to make or questions to ask. One, first and first, the buzzword is the Cell Phone Amendment Act that everybody is panicking about. I'm on the ground, and that's like welfare throughout Barbados. And I see no logic in that you have to pull off the road, turn off your car, get out, and to talk to a phone. You can imagine people at night, how Barbados is going, how things is going around this country. They're making very good examples for the criminals to target people. I don't see it logical like that. If you tell me while you're driving and you lose your cell phone on the highways and you'll be prosecuted, yes. But if you pull off, no problem for that. And second thing, the coverage. Coverage, you can only get rid of coverage. You can only get rid of coverage if you get rid of the seeds. You have to get rid of the seeds. If you burn them, the seeds is going to go in the ground. The fire is not going to destroy the seeds, and it's going to germinate again with the following year. So we need to get the seeds, the pods, from out of the ground, from out of the earth. Fire does nothing to them. Okay, so yeah. You have a blessed and wonderful day, David. Nice talking to you. Bye.
Okay, coming back. Down to Brass Tacks. Hello.
Good morning, Mr. Ellis. How are you?
I'm fine, and you?
Well, fair to fine. Now, what I'm saying, the law pertaining to helmet for bicycle, did you know about that law before they announced it?
No.
Now, do you think that is fair? Somebody now riding without it don't have no money, just a little piece of bike to go to work.
And you mean a motorcycle?
Yes.
You mean to have a helmet to ride a motorcycle?
Yeah.
That's a long-standing law. That's not new.
But from my being here, you know, I never heard about
that's
it.
That's not so. You might not have heard about it, but it's a long-standing law.
But did you know?
I knew that it existed, yes.
But did you know they just bring it up so they never even announced
it? They didn't just bring it up, so that's something that has been a requirement of the law, as far as I can recall, for years.
There's a lot of things they're bringing in now.
You are sticking to your script.
No, I'm not. No, just please. I am not, because as I said, there's a lot of people who come back over from Manaway and living here, and a couple of them have bicycle. They never know about the law. That's what I'm it does no.
You're talking about a bicycle as distinct from a motorcycle?
A bicycle. I know a motorbike you got him.
Right.
You got your,
that is the one that has long been established.
Yes.
As it relates to motorcycles, that's what I know. Bicycles.
Yeah, you didn't know about that.
I knew about that. But the bicycles, that's new to me.
That's what I'm talking about.
Right, that's new to me.
You know about the motorbike. Every idiot would know about that. You know, but I'm just talking about, they just bring that up. Our man that's earning $250 a week and get stopped, is he going to pay that fine? You should have given them a little warning. You must learn to give warning. You just cannot spring law on people.
But you believe that the law itself is needed, right? Even if you're riding a bicycle, ideally, you should have a helmet to avoid serious injury to your
head. Yes, I agree with that.
But your only complaint is that they needed to give people a little bit more time.
Yes, because I know that you should able to ride, because head injury is a very serious thing. If you get knocked down, at least that will cushion the head a bit. You understand? But they just spring it on people like that. It's, you know, it's something else that I know someone personally. Now he uses the bicycle to go to work, but he can't go to because he's trying to get the money to go and buy an helmet. You see, and he lose 2 days or 3 days pay. Because he's scared to get fined. It is the same thing with this cell phone law. You know, I know you, listen, I am one for not driving and use cell phone, because personally, I think some people only go on the cell phone when they see someone come up to them. That's a law that I would support. But at least tell the people what, you know, you need an on device, yes. But if you park, you pull over on the sidewalk, suppose you feel sick and you're at the wheel there trying to get somebody, you're not driving, the car stop to get somebody to come to your aid. Suppose you break down as a woman late at night, about, say, 7, 8 o'clock, and you're trying to get help. Should you come out the car to make that call? Hell no. This is not right. Before you make a law, you should let the police know what the intent of the law is going to be. The police are saying you have to come out the car now to make, suppose a thunderstorm coming down, you got to come out to make that emergency call, 9 or 211, I need help, I'm feeling sick. This is stupid law. That is stupid. They want to say they're doing something at the last minute, and then they mess up the policeman head and the public head. That's all I can say. Bye-bye, Mr. Ellis.
Okay, for those of you who are pointing to police officers who are using cell phones, it's been pointed out to me that there are exceptions to the particular regulation, regulations 148 and 148B. 148 and 148B, it says here, do not apply to a person who is driving or operating an emergency vehicle while that person is acting within the scope of his employment and the use of a communications device is required. For the purposes of this regulation, emergency vehicle means an ambulance, a police vehicle, a unit of the Barbados Defense Force, a unit of the Department of Emergency Management, a unit of the Fire Service, or a unit of the Prison Service. This is down to brass tacks. Hello? Welcome.
Yes, sir. All right. Good morning to you. Mr. Alec?
Yes.
Yes, all right. Morning. Good morning to you. I just have some risk concerns here as it relates to some public information.
Yes.
Okay. I'm a knowledge that was published in the Sun, I think, last Sunday. It dealt with the apparent sale of the said Four Seasons Hotel.
Yes.
To a private entity. Now, and apparently there's no trace of the source of funds as it is on the books of government. Now that's a really serious concern for me, taxpayer, and I'm speaking as a taxpayer in Barbados and also a member of the electorate. There must be transparency. There must be accountability. You have independent posts such as the Director of Public Prosecution. And where these said instances have happened, they should be turned over to the Commissioner of Police and the Director of Public Prosecution in the interest in the public, in the national interest of Barbados, taxpayers, and also the good citizens of Barbados. And this needs to be said, you know, that's a very serious matter. We've had over $1 million being missed from a police station. That's all public knowledge already. And nobody knows, can give an account of that. I think that was under investigation. No, not the outcome of that. And these things have been happening. And then we've had a draconian police act being passed. You know, and I'm very concerned that your constitutional rights, which are the custodians, which are grafted from your human rights, Constitution of Barbados states that an accused person should not be held within the police station for no more than 24 hours without charge. Default charge. It says in the Constitution of Barbados, you have to give the police a statement, your name, address. What you're having today with the Department of Parole officials, we had some police act changes to the police act. The Bar Association came up, professional body, and spoke volumes about that act. Still, I don't know if it's been proclaimed, the Governor General has signed off. You know if the Governor General has signed off on that?
I'm unaware that it has been proclaimed.
Okay, but it had to be proclaimed. But there's been public outcry. Activists, lawyers have come to the fore and about the apparent entrenching on the constitutional rights of citizens. The Constitution is the free law of the land, and it should be respected. It ought to be respected. The voice of the Bar Association crying out should be respected. A professional body. They're not numbskulls. They are legal luminaries. They have training. And if their professional body is speaking out on a matter of grave concern, the interest of Barbados...
What, in your judgment, stops those people from being having their voice respected, as you call it?
Mm-hmm.
What is it that is standing in the way?
What is standing in the way?
Yes.
It may be just a matter of good common sense, because their professional body is qualified and should be heard.
We are supposed to be...
What, it shouldn't be heard?
Okay, but we are running a system where people are voted for. You are elected. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of noise in the background coming from you. I don't know what that noise is all about. It's kind of distracting.
Okay, good. It was a fan. Okay, good.
Yes. So you run a system that says you need to be responsive to different publics in a country. Mm-hmm. And that if you lack that kind of sensitivity, then the people are going to vote against you. That is supposed to be the lever that people have to draw politicians into line.
Yeah.
If politicians lose touch with the people and behave as though they don't have to listen, and I've watched this play out time and again. After a certain time in office, I don't know what it is about the office that causes that, but many instances, people just lose touch and they don't...
They get tired of governing.
I'm not so sure that they get tired. I think they get sometimes too comfortable governing. And then they realize, they say, you know, they behave as though, you know, all the power resides with them, when in truth and in fact it doesn't. So you take a risk. Every time you behave like that, you take a severe risk of losing the popularity that you've had.
But they do it anywhere.
And in many instances, they pay the price for it. I've seen politicians pay the price for that.
Yeah.
Now, that is why it is absolutely essential that you make sure that your systems are protected in such a way that it is the will of the people that prevails, so that we are in a position when people get out of hand to say, look, we've had enough of this, let's move on.
But there's something for that, Mr. Ellis. Simple. Because you have lawmakers and the politicians are MPs. They become legislators or lawmakers. They're not supposed to be lawbreakers.
Yeah, but we as a country are not doing enough. People in Barbados do not do enough to recognize, first of all, that our system is a fragile one. It is a system that if you get the wrong kind of person sitting in office, that person can do a lot of damage. Therefore, once you recognize that, the checks and balances need to be taken into consideration. Question is, are you satisfied that we have enough checks and balances in this system to protect us?
Yes, because it's the Magna Carta ruling that was set, President was saying, you can talk to any lawyer, it's something called the rule of law. You must subscribe to the rule of law.
Yeah, and if you don't, the rule of law by itself is not all that is required, because as we were discussing before, there are things that people can do.
Hold on.
You can do things that don't break the law, but you still run against the conscience of a people.
Mm-hmm.
So tell me about the rule of law.
You're not spread front of you what the law.
Pardon me. That is not true. It is not true. You can follow the law.
The letter of the law, but you can breach the spirit of the law. Correct. What the law so intended. The law is so intended to exploit, to use the law to exploit people, persons or citizens, or not to report financial matters for the public company or some such. You have to subscribe as a lawmaker. You're a lawmaker, not a lawbreaker. Mm. You must subscribe to the rule of law. These things were set.
My friend, and if you don't, what do you have? What is the power that you have? None.
Other than waiting for
the polls?
Moral suasion, the Bar Association, we're trying to use moral suasion and appeal to the greater good.
I would like to push you in a direction, my friend, to be analytical in this way. Let us recognize what the weakness is and ask the question.
What weakness?
The weakness is that a person can follow the letter of the law, but there can be a measure of disquiet or an unease.
Why?
There can be a measure of disquiet or unease in a country that person is not sensitive enough to. What is the price that you pay?
Before you get... Why is that a load of hat fester? What was the antidote?
Because of the person's...
Solution?
But that's why I'm asking you.
Can act with impunity, Ms. Ellis.
But that's why I'm asking you.
Rule of law. No, I have a problem, fundamental problem. That's why I'm here. I'm asking, I'm stating emphatically that everybody must submit to the rule of law.
And it is all well and good to say that they must, but if they don't, what do you do?
To bring a constitutional motion against.
Well, why don't you do that?
Huh?
Why you don't go and bring your constitutional motion? Why are you using brass stacks instead?
I'm just asking the question and trying to sensitize members of the public. I'm just trying to sensitize.
I am saying to you,
engage in the discourse.
Yeah, but I'm saying to you that the weakness in all of this is that you recognize where the breach is, but you're not exercising your thoughts around how the society may be able to counter that. Today, you're seeing it play out in one way, but tomorrow it can play out in an even more dramatic fashion. And everything that we are experiencing today is giving us a heads up to what could happen tomorrow.
Correct. Impetus.
Yeah, so we need to look at it and say, okay, look, I recognize, for instance, that years ago, it seemed to me that non-governmental organizations in Barbados were more vocal on matters impacting on us. The Bar Association, for instance, is a far cry from what it used to be years ago, back in the 70s and 80s, when it seemed to take more of a stand on legislative matters that were coming up and that sort of thing. I suppose their strongest, their finest hour, let me put it that way, would have been back in 1974, when we had the big debate about the amendment to the Constitution. Nothing of that type seems to occur today. The Manufacturers Association, there's several other entities that could make their presence felt. I see that the Association of Engineers is trying to make more of a contribution
like a catalyst,
in that regard.
Catalyst, yes.
Yeah, but that is driven largely by one person. When that person is removed, it goes back to what it was before.
So how
can we make a difference in that regard?
But you must have combustible matter all the time.
Yeah.
You must have somebody to stoke the fire.
There's another matter.
They need to have an educational catalyst or policy in the organization that will keep these matters on the front burner and that they don't burn out. And you can be able to sustain these real and serious matters to the public and they don't die with the leadership of the organization.
All right. Thank you very much. There's another matter here. I was talking about the Bar Association reminds me of something relating to lawyers that I think needs to be addressed in Barbados. It's been drawn to my attention that you could have, and we have had situations here, where clients assumed that the lawyers that they were dealing with had clients' accounts, only to discover if a lawyer died or ran into difficulty or something like that, that there was no client account. Effectively, what it has meant is that people have lost thousands of dollars in these circumstances. Why is it that lawyers' accounts should not be audited on an annual basis as a condition for continuing to practice as a lawyer in this country? It is unacceptable that lawyers could be dealing with so much money, some of them, and they do not have to go through that process. It is my understanding that there are other jurisdictions where it happens, but in Barbados, it's a completely different situation. Mind you, this is not a new proposal, you know. You know that it is an idea that has been floated among lawyers for quite some time. But it goes nowhere. Because at the end of the day, other lawyers in the legislature seem not to attach that significance to it. I think it is something that should be on the agenda now. And these people who are coming to us talking about they want your vote and that sort of thing, they need to fix that. What do you think? This is Down to Brass Tacks. Down to Brass Tacks. Good morning.
Morning, David.
Okay, this is Minister Michael Lashley.
Yes, sir. How are you doing?
I'm well. I see a statement that has been put out by the Ministry of Transport and Works. What exactly is the ministry's statement saying?
Well, you know, David, first let me say that I take this time out to come on the radio because I have a meeting starting shortly, but I said let me get back to you because I promised I would get back to you. The statement yesterday mentioned the fact that in order to answer your cell phone, you even if you pull off the road, that you have to get out the vehicle and use the cell phone. Okay? Now, there's no provision in the law. There's nothing in the law saying that you have that you must obtain. Okay? I just wanted to state to you that the intent of the amendments and the regulations, the amendments to the Act and also the regulation, basically, is we are seeking to remedy that mischief of distracted driving. The Act before, the Road Traffic Act before, did mention the offense of reckless driving for due care and attention and being reckless in terms of consideration of other road users. They had no specific provision in the law which made it an offense to driving while using a cell phone. Based on the information we got from our stakeholders, we decided to put a specific provision in the law relative to driving while using a cell phone. The intent of this legislation really is to deal with someone who is on the road or highway while driving and using the cell phone. We certainly believe that if someone pulls off the road and observes all safety precautions, not impeding traffic, then the intent of the law is not to penalize that person. Okay?
I've heard that.
Right. So we want to assure all road users that the intent and the mischief that we are seeking to remedy is you are on the road driving and you're using the cell phones, you become distracted, and you're a danger to road users.
The intent is one thing. The wording of the legislation may well be the problem. They're talking about driving and operating. I heard some mention of that.
Yeah.
Isn't that where the difficulty lies, therefore?
But that of course, is an area that is a great area, but what we're saying, when we spoke to, because I just wanted to say to you, David, too, that I have had discussions with the Royal Barbados Police Force, briefly chat with the Commissioner of Police too in relation to where we're going with this legislation. Administratively, we've looked at this and said the real danger is that person using the cell phone while he's driving.
But, Minister, at the end of the day, I think we all understand that when you're looking at these matters, the court itself will go back to the intent. And I think that's why you are putting such an emphasis on this.
Uh-huh.
But the question is, how could the wording have been such that this interpretation can be given to it?
But let me say to you, David, that, you know, the interpretation of the Act also goes hand in hand with the intent of the legislation, okay, and the policymakers. Okay?
So you don't think it will be necessary to clarify this by the way that the legislation is worded?
Well, you know, in some instances, David, you can make the necessary amendment to clarify. And in some instances, too, the policymaker working along with the law enforcement agency can say, look, this is the position, this is where we are seeking, this is the mischief that we are seeking to remedy. Okay?
When's the last time you had to do something like that as a minister? To clarify a piece of legislation in this way by stressing what the intent was because of confusion over the interpretation?
David, that's a principle. There's a principle.
When's the last time you had to do it as a minister?
David, it's a principle, okay, that many persons who are involved in legislation, that they have to adopt.
No, when is the last time, in all the years that you've been a minister, have you had to do this before?
Well, of course, we've had issues relative to the housing units and the legislation that was passed, and people have various interpretations of it. So I cannot stop you from having a different interpretation of me, but this is the intent of the policymakers, and that is what we are seeking to do. We are guided by the stakeholders.
How do you respond? There's another issue about GPS, but on this particular matter here, there's a perception that you guys in government are so much in a hurry to put legislation on the statute book. Let me make the point, Minister. You are so much in a hurry to put the legislation on the statute books that you are not doing enough due diligence, and hence this is the reason why this has happened.
I am not allowing you to get rid of that because this legislation was in consultation with stakeholders for over 4 or 5 years, even before he was minister, he was the past minister. So you cannot say that this is rush. You cannot say that. No. I can bring you evidence to suggest and show you that this these amendments were in contemplation now for years and they were being worked on.
Okay. Somebody asked you to clarify the intent on the use of GPS units or mounted mobile phones using navigation apps. This person says, from my interpretation of the legislation, viewing these devices now appears to be against the law. If this is true, what will be the impact on visitors and locals needing navigation aids to find places in Barbados?
David, the apps give various definitions of what is considered a cellular telephone, what is interactive communication, okay? It defines using hand-free mode, all that.
So they won't be touched in this way?
No.
And that is clear.
Yeah. All right.
Then
I can next year on the program, I can get back to you, David. I have no issue.
But you know what this has a lot to do with? Remember you talk about that public relations program that needs to be done on the same road traffic act?
But you know, I want to congratulate GIS for the work they're doing. They're doing a great job. They're doing a very great job. I don't even have to do, David.
This legislation was in consultation and stuff for 4 years. But it comes into being, and the PR program comes after it is passed.
No. There were various discussions with all the stakeholders. We had discussions.
Even you were quoted in the press as saying that you had to embark on a public relations program after the legislation went through Parliament.
But David, it's not.
You had ample time
before I can do it. It was done before.
Anyhow,
I don't want to get.
You got to leave shortly.
Of course, I don't want to get under your skin.
Okay. Under my skin? Under my skin, Minister? You know?
All right,
thank you very much. I'm sorry you didn't have more time with us, because I'm sure there are other issues related to this road traffic act that people want to have. People are afraid to give you more time now, though, because it's election period. So you just don't want you in a freebies here, you know? You can't come with the other people.
All right, thank you, sir.
Down to brass tacks. Welcome.
Good morning, David.
Yes, welcome.
How are you, man?
I'm fine.
Listen, this telephone thing, your boss would not know that you are stuck on the road because you can't call.
You heard the minister just now. You were on the phone, and you didn't hear when the minister said that the interpretation which has been given to this legislation by the police, that was not the intent. So because of, essentially what happens here is that the wording is such that the police are giving this interpretation to it. So the minister now is coming to say, this is not the intent of the legislation, and therefore you should follow the intent rather than go with the interpretation of the wording. That's basically what is being said here.
Yeah, I just heard about it. I thought we were stuck in traffic on your way to work. You would have to pull out of the traffic, then to get back in the traffic, and you get to work a little later. So while you're in traffic,
not if you leave work, not if you left for work early, you know.
But
I don't understand where you're going with this.
Yeah, because you know, so you had a look at that thing in Trinidad with the Chief Justice and the Law Association it being struck down, and now he's on a sabbatical.
I know about that, and they say that they're going to appeal against the High Court's decision because they're accusing the Chief Justice of misconduct.
Yeah, and it is ruled against them that they can't investigate him. So, but now he's on a sabbatical, so if he's a sabbatical, he's not on his job now.
Yeah, so, well, I mean, I don't know how they're going to resolve that.
I was just following it, you know what I mean? And last but not least, but let me see. Let me say last but not least, because I can come again that time. This sex thing, you see how much trouble it is causing with the harassment and some big shots resigning and coming down overseas. And now in the Bahamas, you can get charged now for marital rape. You see that what sex has been doing, and you accusing me and laughing at me because I have withdrawn for 18 years. How you like that?
Well, I suppose you could go to the United States and see if they will vote for you as president.
But I agree, but you see, so it is a good thing to withdraw. You won't get into those problems, man. When are you going to come out?
What's that?
When are you going to come out of it?
Me?
Yeah.
Man, I'm watching you first.
But you got 18 years trail.
But that's what you say. But you know, the people say I hear better cocks than you crew already. I remember a man called Jimmy Swaggart, who used to be on television every Sunday morning.
Crying, yeah.
Crying and saying, preaching up a storm.
Yes,
and lo and behold, even he fell victim.
My, yeah.
So, you know, it is one thing for you to come here and tell me one thing. Mm. But when we put you under the microscope, we might discover that... Don't forget, you're sitting thought, deed, and word. And you tell me already how you like to go down to Bank Hall on Kaduma Day and watch the girls gyrating and that sort of thing.
But you better go in looking.
But you're sitting in thought, deed, and word.
No, not in thought. I can't correct that.
You
listen, there's no way in the Bible.
You go.
You don't sit in thought. You don't sit in thought. I never challenge any rabbi or any priest. Show me in the Bible where you're sinned by thought.
Man, listen, I can't get involved in this kind of conversation with you because, as I say to you,
I'm a top man.
A lot of people say one thing and do another.
I know, but listen, tell a private detective on me then.
Well.
No, but honestly, David, 18 years is for sure. You know, but your problem is, how you getting that due, man? That is impossible, man. All my life, I didn't see that as a possibility at all. But yeah, it happens.
Ma'am, let me tell you something. I didn't even want to get involved in what might have caused you to be able to do it for 18 years, as you claim. I'm not going there. I'm not going there with you
on the
air because I can to come to my office
to
explain just that to me.
No, how it has happened.
If I was doing 6:30, the 6:30 program, as a matter of fact, that is ideal. 6:30. That's ideal for that kind of discussion with you. I'd come to you, and I would come to you, and I would want to get chapter and verse on how you were able to do it. And I would be keen to find out what are your distractions. When the devil tempts you, exactly what do? Do you drink a glass of water?
I would tell you that too.
All of them things I would want to find out, but another day, okay?
Another day.
Another kind of program. We're coming back.